Brother Ken has requested that we would read from Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. I guess you would have thought I was a little anxious to keep standing. But I was just awestruck by the sight I saw. All these beautiful people in front of me, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I just love to look out over the audience and see all of your faces. May God bless you for being here. There's one that is missing with us today, and he would say it's a beautiful day. And it is. But it's much more beautiful for him than it is for us. We're still here. But he's there. We look forward to being there too. This account is one of the, should we say, dreadful or accounts in the Bible when Jesus Christ completely surrendered himself to his Heavenly Father. One of the phrases, not my will, but thine be done. And may that be on our lips on a daily basis. Not my will, but thine be done. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand that doth betray me. Let's come before him in prayer.
The title of the message this morning is Praying Together. Did you ever have the following thoughts? Me? Pray out loud? I get nervous, apprehensive, if I think about praying in front of people. It's very difficult. If verbal prayer has never been a routine practice for you, naturally the thought of praying with others may make you uncomfortable. I understand. Most of us feel inadequate when it comes to praying audibly with others. To be honest, that has been my experience. But I take comfort in the fact that God never intended prayer to be something reserved for those who are good at praying. He longs for us to come to Him and welcomes us into His presence, even when we struggle with not knowing what to say. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. The ability to express oneself fluently in prayer has nothing to do with a favorable response from God. God's response has much more to do with sincere and humble hearts than it does with our ability to string words together. Isaiah 57:15 says, God dwells with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. What does the Bible say about praying together? Let's open its pages today and consider some examples of corporate prayer and the lessons that these examples contain. Brother Ray Momert asked me to consider preaching on this subject since he is doing a series on the topic of prayer. I wasn't sure, but I asked God for guidance and sensed a confirmation to proceed. Prayer is certainly a subject that is challenging for me, and this study has identified my need for improvement. As I meditated on the scriptures, I gained a new appreciation and excitement for prayer. On Friday, after the funeral meal, I was talking with a brother who was asked to share a number of teaching sessions with some of our youth this weekend. And as he talked about the topic of those sessions, in answer to my question, I was impressed very strongly by the Spirit to pray for him right at that very moment. It was in a public setting, but that made no difference to God. I put my arm on his shoulder and I said, "May I pray for you right now?" And the brother was very agreeable and appreciative. Four of us joined in that little circle, and I prayed that God would fill him with power from above, and that he could reach out and touch the youth in a way that would impact them for eternity. I couldn't help it, but the tears flowed down my cheeks. It was a moment that drew us together as nothing else could. I'd like to share five aspects of corporate prayer that I gleaned from the scriptures. Number one, the church had times devoted specifically for prayer. Jesus promised that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. You know, that's one of the most encouraging promises in all of God's Word. But in its context, this verse is describing believers who are gathered together for the specific purpose of prayer. To understand this verse fully, we need to read two verses in conjunction, including the one that occurs before it. And so let's read verses 19 and 20 together of Matthew 18. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That word for, F-O-R, at the beginning of verse 20, is a coordinating conjunction, which implies a connection with the verse immediately before it. It indicates that when we seek God in humble, believing prayer, Jesus promises His presence in a unique and powerful way. When Peter's life was in danger after Herod threw him in prison, the church had a late night prayer meeting to intercede for him. When Peter was set free by the angel, where did he go? Right to that house church where the prayer meeting was in session. And we read in Acts 12:12, and when he had considered a thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. The sole purpose of that gathering was intercessory prayer. There are other instances in the book of Acts where believers gathered together to pray. Many times. We may ask, is it appropriate for the church today to gather together for the specific purpose of prayer? We could ask that question with more questions or answer it. Should a body of believers be actively involved in kingdom work? Is praying together an essential part of working together in the kingdom? One of the things that Jesus taught his disciples to pray for was that his kingdom would come. Matthew 6:10, Luke 11:2. Is our heart in that prayer truly in the words that we are saying, "Thy kingdom come"? The relationship between prayer and the kingdom's progress is solidly scriptural. Jesus instructed us to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:38. Billy Graham is quoted as saying that he discovered there are three things necessary for a successful crusade. The first is prayer, the second is prayer, and the third is prayer. Our prayers are the means by which God has appointed us to accomplish the Great Commission and establish his kingdom. Prayer is so important to kingdom work that it should precede all of our other efforts. Jonathan Edwards stated that most of the remarkable deliverances and restorations of the Church of God in the Scriptures were an answer to prayer, unquote. That brings us to the second point of the message. Number two, agreeing in prayer is powerful. Matthew 18:19 again, I say unto you, and I'll be coming back to this verse a number of times. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. This verse makes it clear that when we pray with others, we capture God's attention in a powerful manner. The word agree that Jesus uses is from the Greek symphono, and it means to sound together, to be in accord, primarily of musical instruments. The Greek word for agree is where we get our English word symphony. The word paints a beautiful picture of harmony or corporate prayer, which in a sense is music to our Father's ears. Imagine a concert where God is the audience and loves to hear our prayers together and listens to this symphony with a deep sense of satisfaction because of his love for us and because he wants us to ask him. God's love is poured out in wonderful ways when his people join together in prayer. He longs for us to pray together because he wants to affirm his love and show his power among us in ways that will bring him honor and that will bring him glory. One fervent, righteous Christian praying alone availeth much. But what about two or more gathered together in prayer? It is evident that there is an amazing arithmetic about prayer. In Deuteronomy, for example, Moses told the people of Israel, how should one chase 1,000 and put 2,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Deuteronomy 32:30. That's a strange ratio, isn't it? In school, I'd mark that answer wrong. If one chases 1,000, two should chase 2,000, right? But when two Christians get together, there is an exponential increase in the effect that they have. Two shall put 10,000 to flight. In our worship services, as this morning, when one brother prays audibly, we, as a gathered assembly, should be following after closely. Affirm and agree with Brother Steve in prayer. Refusing to allow our minds to wander. Think about it. That prayer is then multiplied 50, 100, 200 times as the body prays together. Almost 83 years ago, in May 1934, a small group of friends met together on a dairy farm in Charlotte, North Carolina, for the express purpose to pray. This little prayer meeting took place during the Great Depression. The farmer had lost all of his savings in the financial crisis, and he should have been out there on the farm working, but he took out precious time from his day to pray with friends. And the focus of their prayers that day was that God would raise up a person from the Charlotte area who would share the good news of Jesus around the globe. They together agreed on that request and in faith prayed to that end. The farmer's teenage son, who observed that meeting, mocked his father's friends by referring to them as fanatics. A few months later, however, the farmer's son committed his life to Jesus Christ during an evangelistic campaign. That son's name was Billy Graham. Number three, praying together should be part of church life. Should it not be our desire to include Jesus in our conversations? We talk freely with each other many times in conversation, in fellowship. As the Spirit leads, it is a blessing beyond compare to join together, talk to God, and include Him in our conversation. We can think of the times Jesus went off alone to pray, and we should follow that example. Closet prayers are important to our spiritual vitality. But you know, there were many times when he prayed with others. It happened when he took Peter and John and James up into a mountain to pray. Luke 9:28. He taught the Lord's Prayer to the disciples after they were watching him pray. It left an impression, and one of them asked, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Luke 11:1. The Lord's Prayer uses plural pronouns such as "our Father," "give us our daily bread," "lead us," and we could go on. It follows that Jesus not only modeled what to pray for, but also how to pray with others. John records Jesus' prayer in the presence of Lazarus' family and friends before he raised Lazarus from the dead. In John 11:41, and one of the purposes of that prayer was so that the people there would believe. Prayer flowed naturally from Jesus. He lived in prayer, staying in constant communication with his Father wherever he went. In the New Testament, we read words about prayer that are in the plural form. indicating that it was a normal custom for believers to pray together. Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:11 says, "Ye also, helping together by prayer," or together in prayer, "for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." The early church, those believers, formed a close community with their worship and prayer. And from the beginning, corporate prayer was the core of the early church's life. During the 10 days in the upper room, between Christ's ascension and Pentecost, we are told that these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Acts 1:14. The harmony of that group and the unceasing nature of its prayers is what stands out. The same kind of prayer for Spirit-filled guidance is found throughout the book of Acts and in the epistles. A large percentage of the corporate prayers were for the Spirit to impart wisdom in directing the church and its work. It is certainly honoring and inspiring to hear the prayers offered in our worship assemblies. But I think you may be aware that there are also many corporate prayers offered at other times by members of this body. These prayers are not known publicly, and they're not done for that purpose. I shared the following example with the adult class when I taught Wednesday night a week and a half ago. Most of you remember, if you were here for Winter Bible School, when the children sat in the back of the audience, mostly on the right side, each evening prior to exiting for the basement. And most likely you also remember the disruptive behavior, the noise, and the shuffling around and changing of seats. This year and last year, it has been totally different, with an orderly attitude of reverence and worship. Something you can't always expect from community children, some of whom do not have any church background. I realize that part of that difference in conduct can be credited to a more organized format for seating at the front of the auditorium. But I'm here to tell you that most of the credit should go to corporate prayer. That is taking place each Wednesday prior to the sessions for the last 2 years. In each room, and also here in the auditorium, audible prayer is offered for cleansing of all evil influences. There is prayer offered for the teachers to be guided with love and the Spirit's power. There is prayer offered for the students that their hearts would be open to the truth of the Word. There is request made to the throne of God for a pervading spirit of worship to fill this building with reverence and constraint as Jesus Christ is lifted up and given the glory. I would also hasten to mention that there are individual prayers and corporate prayers offered by many of you before and during the time frame of Winter Bible School. Praise God. Continue. And to Him be the glory. Number 4, prayer in small groups is appropriate. I'd like to refer back again to Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20, where we read of Jesus promising to be in the midst of a group of just a few who gather for prayer. If Jesus gave that promise, he certainly anticipated and even expected that the church at times would participate in small group praying. I have personally heard many who were blessed tremendously in such a way when there was small group prayer. There's a freedom to share and pray together that is obviously not possible in the larger gathered assembly. There are a number of times in Christ's ministry when he assigned small groups for the purpose of prayer. He took three of his disciples with him to pray on the Mount of Transfiguration. In the Garden of Gethsemane, after the Last Supper, he told his disciples to remain in one location while he prayed, and he took with him Peter, James, and John and gave them a spot. And then he walked a little bit further on his own with the expectation that his disciples would be praying together with him. He came back three times and found them sleeping. His response is rather heart-piercing. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Can the church today relate to the words we often sing? Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. That calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. As I studied this scripture, it was almost as if Jesus was pointing to me and saying, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I make that confession and purpose to go forward, as Brother Ray was encouraging us this morning. Number 5, women participated in corporate prayer. In the book of Acts, there are a number of instances when women participated in corporate prayer. And I realize in our circles, this is not very common. But in Acts 1:14, we read, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Paul talked with some women who met to pray in Acts 16:13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. There was a desire for prayer. And Acts 16:13 goes on to say, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Luke writes about the time when there was a need to seek God's blessing together in prayer in regards to Paul. And in Acts 21:5 we read, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. God used D.L. Moody to win thousands to Christ throughout the United States, and Great Britain in the 19th century. He was common, ordinary. He murdered the King's English. He had strange mannerisms. But when he preached at Cambridge University in the fall of 1882, he was mocked and ridiculed. After 2 days of rejection, he would not give up. But he said it was like hitting a brick wall. And before the next meeting, Moody called together a group of mothers to pray. They interceded passionately, mother after mother, amidst tears, pleading for the young men of the university. What happened that evening was strikingly different from just 2 nights before. At Moody's invitation, 52 young men gave their lives to Christ. And there was a mighty moving of God's Spirit. What made the difference? There's so much more that could have been said about corporate prayer. But I would like to share this as an encouragement to those who may be apprehensive about praying in a group. Find a place at home where you can be alone with God, where no one can hear you but Him. And as you pray, pray out loud. Talk to God as if He were right beside you. Or even place an empty chair in front of you and talk to God as if He were sitting in that chair. I found that praying out loud helps me focus on my thoughts and keeps my mind from wandering. And it will also help you be more comfortable praying out loud with others. If you are ever in a prayer group and you feel led to pray, remember not to worry about the words you use. Talk to God and not the other people around you. Pray briefly, talking to God in a natural tone of voice, and just tell Him what's in your heart. He's waiting to hear from you.
Come now to the part of the service when we'll put into practice what Brother Ken has shared with us this morning. And if you are one who is nervous about praying publicly, if it's any consolation to you, so am I. This is actually one part of the service that makes me more nervous than about any other. And yet Ken's right, I'm not really talking to you, I'm talking to God when I pray. You're listening in and hopefully praying along. And the other thing that I always think of in connection with prayer, and I think it would apply here too, I was sharing with Brother George Churchfield one time about how, and I know he's a man of prayer, of private prayer, and I want to become that also. And I said to him, I just want to know how to pray better. And he said, and this is what I would share with you if you're nervous about praying publicly. He said, don't worry about how to pray. He said, just do it. And the Holy Spirit will show you how. And I think that's probably good advice for all of us on prayer. Let's stand together for closing prayer. I'll pray and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together because it is the one that Jesus taught His disciples when they asked Him how to pray. But let's pray it more slowly. I want to try to pause between the phrases of it that we can think about it and consider what it is that we're praying and how it might apply, and that the Holy Spirit would pray really through us and prompt us as we pray. Please stand for prayer.